So Matthew 4, verses 23 and 24. Let's read together. Ready? Read. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the kingdom and healing all manner of sicknesses and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went through all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, and epileptics and paralytics, and he healed them. Sorry. All right, you might need to move. Now, what I'm going to do, let me explain what I'm going to do so that you have understanding. I do not want confusion to happen. All right, but I want you to have clarity. Sometimes we read God's word, and not what we read here is two verses. And we read it and we say, all right, okay. But these verses are packed with stuff that if you don't stop and really study it or look at some things, words, phrases, their meanings, you will miss what Jesus was actually doing. Now, he says that he went about all Galilee teaching in their synagogues and preaching the kingdom and healing. All right? He went about teaching, preaching, and healing. And the first thing I want to point out, and there they are, they're underlined. Those two words in those two verses, right, is the word therapeuo, which is one of the Greek words for healing. This is the word I want us to focus on. What I'm going to do is give you a picture of those two verses. I'm going to break down some of the words in these verses to give you a broader understanding of what it's actually saying in the Greek. Okay? And then afterwards, we're going to go back to Matthew 4, 22-23. It was 22-23, wasn't it? 23-24. We're going to go back to them, and I'm going to paraphrase those verses with the explanations that I'm giving you, so that it reads with that understanding of these words we're going to look at. Hope you understand what I'm saying. Let me go. Okay? So here we go. Ignore those nine words. I don't want you to pay attention to those. The reason I put them there, okay, is to show you the Greek and the Hebrew language is so, how should I say, colorful. It's so dynamic, so broad. And many a time we can make the mistake into thinking that when we just read healing, we just say, oh, healing. And we don't understand that in the Greek, actually, it can mean different things. And in the Greek, these words that you see up there, I'm not going to focus on them today, okay, have different meanings. Some of them you will have heard me mention in the past. Diazo, sozo, soteria. And sozo and soteria is the word for salvation. And salvation includes healing. It includes, if you like, recovery of something lost. That's sozo. So what I'm saying to you now is that we're just going to focus on that ninth word, therapeuo. And up there on the screen, I've given you something that, a picture of this word and its meaning, but I'm going to go to another screen that will actually give a meaning, if you like, in English. In English, they're all in English, but you will know what I mean. Therapy, okay, pictures a healing touch that requires corresponding actions. Therapy requires the participation of the therapist as well as the one receiving the therapy. And that can come in different forms. Through the life and ministry of Jesus Christ, this is how he healed most times. As I said earlier, according to one scholar that is an expert in Greek. So that's why I'm quoting him, because I've not really checked that out for myself. But I have gone in and I've looked and I've found all those words there. And I've put them up there. But to know that there are different words with different expressions. I mean, you can see, just, I'm not going up there, but just look at hygieno, for example, what word do we think we get from that? Hygiene. Yeah, that's right. Hygiene. Right? To be clean. Yeah? And that's a word, if you like, for healing. So, here we go. Therapy requires, very important you understand this, church. It requires the participation of the therapist as well as the one receiving the therapy. In other words, the one giving the instruction gives the instruction, but it also requires the participants to hear and to receive and to do what they are hearing. Are you with me so far? Please stay with me, okay? I don't want you to miss this. Very, very important. So, okay, fine. Let's go on to the definition that I've put up there now, okay? In a simpler term so that you have clarity. What does therapy mean? Let's look at the word therapy. What does that word mean? We hear it and we talk about it all the time, but what does it mean? Therapy is the treatment of disease or disorder through remedial, rehabilitating, or curative process. Did you get that?
Yes.
I'll repeat. Therapy, if you should look in the Oxford Dictionary, it would say it's a treatment of disease or disorder through remedial, rehabilitating, or a curative process. That's what therapy means. Okay? And it's in line, more or less, with the Greek, with the word therapeuo that we're looking at today for healing. Let me make it very, very clear. The God that we serve is a God who heals.
Amen.
No, He just didn't used to heal. I said, is a God who heals.
Amen.
He heals today. And when we look at the ministry, I'm repeating myself, the ministry of Jesus Christ, we see clearly, when you study this, that most of the healings that Jesus occurred, that Jesus did, required people's participation. Most of it. They had to do something. They had to go somewhere. It required them doing something. Jesus did his part, but they had to do their part. All right. So let's go back to Matthew 4:23-24. All right. And what I'm going to do now is I'm going to, two by two, I'm going to highlight some of the words there. I'm going to give you understanding as pertaining to these words. And then I'm going to go on to the next screen, two more words, the next screen, two more words, so that we're breaking those two verses down. And then, as I said earlier, I'm going to come back and I'm going to paraphrase that verse with what we have just understood about the meaning of those words in those verses, some of the words. All right, so we see, he went about all Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the kingdom, and healing all manner of sicknesses and all manner of disease. So let's look at those two words first of all. I want you to have understanding. I believe the Lord wants you to have understanding that when you read or hear about sickness, it's not just, oh, I'm feeling sick. It's much more than that. And you'll see that with a lot of these words. With disease, oh, it's not just disease, but actually what it is. And many instances you will see today, a lot of what the words, some of the words I'm going to highlight here, a lot of them were inflicted by demonic activity, by spirits that are working here today in this world to inflict God's people with sickness. And that's why sometimes, and we've experienced this in our ministry as well, when you pray for people, sometimes they need deliverance, and we've seen that in this church, where people get delivered and set free from demonic harassment, demonic activity that is upon them in their lives, so that they become sick, so that they become in such a state that they cannot function normally. And that is not how God wants his people. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Sickness and disease. So here we go. And I'm not going to spend too much time on it. I just want to go with the flow though, what the Lord is leading me. Sickness. Don't pay too much attention to the Greek. I'll put it up there for your sake. I might mention some of them, I might not mention some of them, okay? But this word sickness is the word nosos, right? It means a terminal condition for which there is no natural cure. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? A terminal sickness for which there is no natural cure. No natural cure. See, if I just left the word sickness, we'd just read it, oh, somebody feels sick. No. This kind of sickness that is spoken about here is one where there is no natural cure. It is always associated, listen to that, with spiritual inflicted sickness. What do we mean by that? Demons are behind it. Now, don't get scared when you hear that word. Don't get scared when you hear the truth about what's happening in the world and in society. Today, it's nothing new. Jesus faced it. The disciples faced it. You're going to see an example of that a little later on. Not that you need it, because it's there in your Bible. But when we read of this word, that is what it's talking about. Something that's terminal. No natural cure. But yet Jesus healed them. Disease. A crippling or debilitating form of sickness. Example, affecting the muscles or nerves. So this type of sickness was a debilitating one. And it affected your muscles in your body and the nerves in your body more than anything else. Okay, you could live, but guess what? You couldn't function correctly. Are you seeing this, church? You could live, but you can't function correctly. That's what that word sickness means. See, you exist, you're able to, you can come to church, but guess what? There's something there. You're not able to function correctly. That's what that word actually means, disease. Here in this context. But yet, let me remind you, Jesus healed them all. That's good news, man. All right, let's just look at number two. Let's look at number two. And his fame went through all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people. His fame. Why have I underlined that? I'm going to show you why. Why have I underlined these two words? Fame and brought. Again, when we think of the word fame, if we should just read this verse, we'll say, oh yeah, you know, Jesus was popular. And he was. And it's close to what it actually means. But let me show you what that word actually means. Fame, and also the word brought. Fame, it means ears. It's the Greek for ears. Come on, everybody say ears.
Ears.
Ears. That's what it is. Ears. Okay? What does it mean within the context here? It's talking about ears filled with information. Rumors about Jesus, or stories about Jesus, because people heard of him. Do you know that sometimes one morning Jesus woke up, and when he went outside the house he was staying, there was a multitude there. They were already there. Why? Because his fame, ears of people were filled with information, stories, and rumors about what Jesus had done or what Jesus is doing here in their village, in their town, in their city, wherever he was. Their ears were filled with information. We have a duty and a responsibility to make sure that our ears are filled with information. And it's got to be the right kind of information. Hence the teaching for the past 2 weeks. Be careful who you're taking advice and counsel from. Be careful and make sure your ears are open to the right source, so that wisdom can be a part of your life and not foolishness. Ears filled with information. Rumors and stories. Okay, so what about the word brought? Well, listen to this. Look at the word brought. The word brought means to physically carry. Most likely because they were sick, too sick to walk. So when you read the word in the context, oh, they brought somebody with them, you know, invited them. Come on here, Jesus. No, right, let me come. No, it wasn't that. The people that were brought were carried because they were too sick to walk. Are you getting a picture? Let me go on and give you two more words. So, they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases. What were they? They were sick and they were afflicted with various diseases. Well, let's have a look at the word sick. Let's have a look at the word diseases, so that we have a clearer understanding of what that actually means. The word sick, it means to be sick in a foul way. And this word sick, this kakos here, is often associated, once again, with demon activity. So it's not just, oh, I feel sick. No, no, no. This is an affliction that's coming from a spirit to cause people to be sick in a bad, foul way. Diseases. And that's a popular word for the disease, by the way, the Greek, asthenia. It means an all-encompassing term for all types of sickness and disease. So it's used to, you know, define all kinds of sickness and disease where it's mentioned. So let's have a look at two more. Torments and demon possessed. Torments. Remember that Jesus went about all Galilee teaching, preaching, and healing all of what we're reading here. Okay, it happened. Okay, and we already, I'm just reminding you now, they, as Jesus, when you look at the varied types of sickness and disease that was out there, when you look at the various situations that Jesus came up with, we see the two words of all the nine Greek words, we see these two, others were used, but we see these two in these two scriptures. They were used, therapeuo was used to heal them all. So whether people were demon oppressed, demon possessed, whether they were a cripple, or I'm not even finished yet because I've got others to go to. Well, no matter what their sickness, he got them to participate in their healing. And you see that, again, I'm repeating myself deliberately, throughout the ministry of Jesus. You know what that tells me? How important it is to be obedient, number one. How important it is to have clarity and understanding pertaining to God, how He operates, and what He wants to bring into our lives, and how we can obtain it. Because many a time, folks, we want things, but we want it our way. Oh, just touch me. Oh, just bless me. No, no, no. Jesus wants you sometimes to participate, to be obedient, to hear instruction, and to do what you're hearing, and to go and to do what you are told to do. Again, you see that throughout the ministry of Jesus. Let's look at these two words. Torment and demon possess. Torment. One who oppresses, afflicts, and tortures. Again, that's speaking of demon activity. One who oppresses, one who afflicts, and one who tortures. But if we look at this word here, I'm not going to quote it. Those who were demonized but not demon possessed. And it's very important, that's why I put that there, that we make a distinction between the two. Okay? People can be demonized today. People can be demonized but not demon-possessed. And they're demonized sometimes when they're harassed by demons. And demons will follow certain people because they've opened up a gate. And we're going to see an example of that in a moment through the next two words I'm going to show you. They open up a gate, a door, where the enemy can come in and rule in their lives. They open up a door through disobedience. And then the enemy comes right in and causes havoc. Because of disobedience, because of lack of counsel, because of lack of wisdom. Because they see things through their own eyes and make their own decisions based on what they feel rather than what God's word says. Alright. So, two more. And I think these two, apart from the word healed down there, is the last two that we're going to look at. Because we've already looked at the word healed. But I'm going to bring us back there deliberately. Epileptics and paralytics. What does that mean? Epileptics and paralytics. I think this is very interesting. Epileptics, look at what this word means, church. I want you to take a good look. Epileptics, it means moonstruck. Another word that's not used so much today, but this is its meaning, is lunatic. When you think of the word lunatic, what comes to your mind? All right, crazy, but no. What else comes to your mind? Moonstruck, lunatic. What? Sorry. All right, no. Yes, but not. All right. The word moonstruck. What word do you see in that?
Moon.
Lunatic. What word do you see in that? Thank you, Luna. That's what I was getting at. It's my fault. Moonstruck, lunatic. I did a little bit of research there on that. And this is how God does things, right? I heard, before I go any further with that, I went to my bed last night. You remember I was talking to you about the importance of rest? You remember that? Go to bed early, just lie down. I went to my bed early, and I do that now. I've been doing that for a little while. I don't stay up late sometimes. Gotta be careful. But I went to bed early, and sometimes what I do is I just have the TV on and I listen to things, and I did that last night. And two things happened, you see. This is why two things happened. Number one, I was listening to the preaching of God's word by somebody else. And the preaching of God's word, the very thing I heard last night before I went to bed, because I was saying, Lord, is this what you really want me to bring now? I've had this prepared for at least 2 weeks. Okay, not finished, but, you know, almost finished. For at least 2 weeks, what I'm doing today. And as I said to you earlier, you know, Pastor Trevor spoke about something led by the Holy Spirit on Thursday, and I had already prepared Sunday coming for what I'm going to touch on that Pastor Trevor actually brought in that meeting on Thursday. I'm going to touch on that. I'm not going to share too much on that, but I'm going to touch on that next week, and I'm going to share with you a little bit. But as I lay down in my bed last night, I heard this preacher mentioned the very two things. He mentioned what I'm going to talk about next week. And God does that with me. It's a personal thing. Maybe you won't even understand, or maybe say, so what? This is the way God confirms his word. And he mentioned, I heard him talking about lunatics and epileptics and how Jesus went about healing them and what this word actually meant. Now, I've had this already prepared. You know, and I said to myself, oh my gosh, look at that. Thank you, Lord, for confirming your word. For confirming your word, Lord. That, you know, not just in Jesus, because I do my own research, so I know that this is accurate. But confirming for me that this is what God's people, the church, not Living Waters necessarily, but the church needs to hear today. Because we have a form of Christianity that is nothing near what Jesus Christ wants. We have Christians today doing their own thing, making their own choices and decisions. They can't take counsel. They don't take counsel. They don't listen to anything anybody wants, because they have it in their hearts already. This is what I'm going to do. And we have that in the church today. And that's why sometimes the church is so weak and powerless, because they're filled with stuff of themselves to do their own thing. And here we see this word, moonstruck, lunatic, sickness resulting from what? They're dabbling in the occult. Doors that have been opened. And I have known Christians that actually go to Obia Man, Obia Woman, if you know what those are. Consultants of the dark side of things. Christians. And when we do that, what we do is we open doors, okay? And when you open a door, sometimes that door, once it's open, it can't be closed, or not easily closed. And now you've let in all sorts of different things. And that's what's happening here. In Jesus' ministry, he came across people that have opened doors by dabbling in the occult. Tarot cards, horoscopes, and all these kind of things, church. And when we dabble in those things, we open doors, and then spirits come in. He actually, last night, I heard the person say something a bit more about when it's full moon. He spoke to some doctors and nurses to find out a bit more, and they turned around and told him that this is in today's time I'm talking about. They said that they've noticed that when it's full moon at a particular time of the year, especially, the hospitals are filled with people. Because what people sometimes don't understand is that the spirit world that I've been preaching for 26 years is more real than the natural world. And there are spirits out there, and they function in a certain way. And the Bible even talks about the principalities of the air. There are spiritual dominions, not from God, operating in spiritual atmospheres. And they want to cause all sorts of different things to happen. And it's so important that we understand that we should not dabble in the occult at all. We should not associate ourselves with people that work magic or witchcraft. We should keep our children from watching things or movies or programs like Harry Potter or witches or you know, all those dark stuff. When we look at it and we look and we say, oh my gosh, but that's so innocent. Listen. The enemy tries to present something that looks all pretty, packaged nicely and innocent, but underneath it is something else. Church, you know what the word occult means? Anybody, can you tell me? Anybody? You know what the word occult means? Nobody. It means hidden. Hidden. So you're not seeing the darkness underneath that movie. Underneath that stuff and that thing that's going on, that book that you're reading. Underneath that program that you have your children. You're not seeing the darkness underneath it. Why? Because it's hidden. That's what the word occult means. Hidden. So we've got to be careful of that. And we've got to watch out for that. Now, I've stayed on this one more than I've stayed on anything else, because we need to understand that when we dabble with certain things, dabbling in the occult, we're dabbling with things that are hidden that will come right in and cause havoc in your life, havoc in your marriage, in your home, in your workplace, in your relationships, in your community, in your neighborhood, in your ministry, in your church. And so we have to take a stand against these things to make sure that that is not so. The word paralytic, those who were paralyzed or had palsy. But the Bible says once again that Jesus healed them all. And how did he heal them? He healed them by giving them instruction, by getting them to participate in whatever they needed to participate in. He healed them. Alright. I'm going to put up here again the word, just to remind us, therapeuo. It pictures a healing touch that requires corresponding actions. Therapy requires the participation of the therapist as well as the one receiving the therapy. Now, what I'm going to do is I've just broken down parts of those two verses. I'm going to give you now these verses again, and I'm going to read it paraphrased, putting in some descriptions of what I've just shared with you from those words that I highlighted. So here we go. Matthew 4, 23, 24, paraphrased. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the kingdom and bringing healing by the participation of all those needing healing, of all manner of terminal conditions that have no cure, and all manner of crippling and debilitating nervous and muscular problems, preventing people from operating normally. People's ears were filled with rumors and stories about Jesus through all Syria. They physically carried all those who were too sick, seeking a foul way, too ill to walk, and demonized people with all types of sickness and disease. Some were oppressed, afflicted, and tortured, demonized by evil spirits. Others were moonstruck, lunatics who dabbled in the occult, and some were paralyzed, having palsy. And Jesus healed them all as they obeyed him in carrying out instructions given to them. As they did what they were instructed to do, they were healed. Isn't our God a good God, church? Stand up on your feet for me, please, everybody. Put your hands together and just give the Lord, and just say, Father, thank you. Put your hands together, church, like a minute, and give God thanks. If you believe that you serve a good God today, come on, man. You can do better than that, church. We serve a good God. Hallelujah. We serve a mighty God. And the God that we serve who heals is still able to heal today. I don't care what your situation is. Church, you can't be reading something like this and hearing about the diversity of sickness and Jesus healed them. And you can't walk out of these doors thinking that God can never heal me. He can never touch my situation. Because he can. And because he will. But Lord, folks, listen to me. While you're standing, listen. Your participation is absolutely important. Your obedience is important. You've got to make up your mind and say, you know what, Lord, I'm going to do it your way. You know what, this is not what I'm feeling. I might be in this situation for so long, but Lord, I know that you are able to do it. I know that you are able to set free. I know that you're able to do it. Oh God, if you've done it for them, you can do it for me. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Behold, I am the Lord thy God, Malachi 3:6. I change not. There is nothing too hard for the Lord. Can you say that with me? Say, there is nothing too hard for... Say it again. There is nothing too hard for the Lord. One more time. There is nothing too hard for the Lord. And so we ought to bless Him and praise Him like never before.
Amen. Thank you.
Now I'm not finished yet. Take your seats. Because even though I've given you this, I could stop right there. Right there I could stop and pray. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give you a few more verses, okay? With Therapeutic in it. And then I'm going to read. I'm going to put on the screen three different passages. There are more. But three different passages with Therapeutic. And I might read one of them. The Lord leads me that way. I might read one of them. So let's have a look at some scriptures with Therapeutic. And Therapeutic just did not refer to Jesus and his ministry. And you're going to see that. Very important. Mark 1:34. Then he healed many who were sick. What did he do? He Therapeutic. He got people to participate. All right? Many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. Therapeutic. Let's have a look at another one. Luke 7:21. And that very hour he cured. That's the word therapeutic. Cured. Of many of infirmities, afflictions, and evil spirits. There we go again. And to many he to many blind he gave sight. What did he do? He cured many. He got them to participate in their healing process. Luke 8, verse 2. And certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom had come seven demons. He therapeutic Mary Magdalene. He got her to participate in the process by which she should be delivered. Let's have a look at another one. Mark 10 and verse 1. And when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to therapeutic all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. He gave the disciples authority. He said, just like how you see me do it, you go do it. You get people to do it. You get people to participate also in their healing. That's why Romans chapter 12 verse 3 says to every man is given the measure of faith. We have a measure of faith given to us because if we're going to do this, we're going to have faith in God. And we're going to have to believe God that God can do what he did because he does what he does today. Just like he did yesterday. Alright. Matthew 10 verse 8. We look at verse 1. Let's look at verse 8. This is Jesus speaking to the 12 disciples. He said, therapeutic the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Cast out demons. Freely you have received. Freely give. Now the next one I'm going to put up there is also the word therapeutic. But look what the word I've highlighted. Acts 17:25. Nor is he worshipped. Wow, that's the word therapeutic. Pastor David, that don't make sense. But let me read the verse. Nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives life to all and breath and all things. He gives life to all life. He gives to all life, sorry, breath and all things. Okay? What? Nor is he worshipped with men's hands. Why is that there? What does that mean? Well, look what I put at the bottom of the screen. That should help you. It's saying simply this. This verse here, church, is saying God does not need any remedial work, no rehabilitation or curative process. God does not need that. He doesn't need anything that man does. Man does. When you go to, you know, you get therapy from men. Men give therapy. God does not need that. And that's what this verse is saying. God does not need therapy by man's hands. Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
He doesn't need it. Because he supplies all things. He is God. He's God. There's nothing that man has that God needs. As a matter of fact, God has everything man needs. So he doesn't need any remedial work. He is Almighty God. Healing flows from him to all people, or those that want to believe and receive. I am going to read. I've given you verses, but I'm going to read one story. I've got three up there on the screen. I'm going to go to Acts chapter 3. And I'm going to read Acts chapter 3. I'm going to read from verse 1 to 10. And also chapter 4, verse 14. And there's a reason why I'm going to 4:14. Now listen to this story. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid at the temple gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on them, with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So notice now the participation. "Look at us." So he gave them his attention. Now, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none. But what I do have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth." Listen to the therapeutic. "Rise up and walk." The man was instructed to do what? Rise up and walk. And then he helped him. Now listen to the therapeutic. You've seen the therapeutic in this? And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. What was he doing? Walking, leaping, and praising God. Walking, leaping, and praising God. What had happened? Therapeuo. The power of God followed through into his body because of his obedience to instruction that was given. So he walked up and he was leaping up and praise God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Now, if we go to chapter 4, and if we look at verse 14, we see something there. And this now is referring to that healing that had taken place. Chapter 4, verse 14. "And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it." And that word "healed" is the word therapeuo. They saw the man who was daily at the temple gates begging for money. And then suddenly, when they saw him, they recognized who he was, and they saw him not lame anymore, not crippled anymore, but actually inside the temple. And they said that, they realized that it was he who had been healed. He was now standing with them. And as I said, that's the word therapeuo. Last screen. I think it's the last screen, then I'm going to end. I'm going to close. Okay? So, what must I do to receive healing, church? What must I do to receive healing? Okay, first of all, the first thing I'll put there is that you have got to make sure that you're walking in love. There are five things. Let me put the people up. Okay, and then that's it. All right, there are five things. Number one, you've got to make sure that you're walking in love. The Bible tells us that our faith works by love. So if you haven't got, if you're not walking in love, your faith won't work. Okay, you've got to make sure that you're walking in love. Love is the foundation upon which our Christian lives are built. So you make sure that you are walking in love. Now I'll put scriptures there for you to sort of look at when you go home. Psalm 91:14, John 15:12, Romans 13, verse 8. Okay, number two, operate in faith. I already mentioned to you about Romans 12, verse 3. The Bible says, to every man is given the measure of faith. And the Bible also tells us that if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can move mountains. Have I got any mountain movers here today? Have I got any mountain movers here today? What mountains are you facing? It doesn't have to be sickness. It could be sickness, but it could be something else. What other mountains are you? Financial pressure is a mountain. Lack is a mountain. Loneliness is a mountain. And God doesn't want any kind of negative mountain in your life. And He has made a way for them to be removed. But you're going to have to be obedient. And before you can be obedient, it leads to point number three. You've got to be humble. Let me read the verses for faith, okay? For the recording's sake. Matthew 9:22, Matthew 15:28, Acts 14, verse 9. Number three, you've got to humble yourself. If I'm going to receive healing, I've got to humble myself. Sometimes you'll be given instruction and you may not even want to do that instruction, but you don't follow your feelings and your emotions, and you do what you are told. You be obedient in Jesus' name. Be obedient. When you question things, and I'm not saying it's wrong to question things, but there is an extremity, there's a point where you can cross over a line and it becomes error. Now you're questioning God. And God doesn't want you to question Him. He wants you to be obedient. What if that man had questioned him and said, what are you talking about? Yeah, I've got silver and gold. That's what I've been doing for these 30 odd years or however long I've been there. I've been looking for this. I've been receiving this because there's nothing else out there. But the man didn't question him. He just moved in obedience. And then, of course, they stretched forth their hand and they helped him up. They gave him the command, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And then he stretched out his hand and helped him to rise up and walk. And the Bible says he did what? He stood, he leaped, and he prayed. Leaped up. Can you imagine that? Humble yourself. 1 Peter 5, verse 5. Humble yourself in the almighty presence of God so that He can use and exalt you in the season appointed. God does not use anybody who is not humble. But if you're going about your thing and you're doing your thing and my mind's already made, this is what I'm going to do, there's no humility there. Actually, there's no wisdom there. So you've got to now say, Father, I repent. And Lord, what I'm going to do is I'm going to humble myself. It may not be what I want. It's not always how I feel. But Lord, it's about what you are saying about the matter. Because with you, nothing is impossible. Humble yourself. 1 Peter 5, 5, Titus 3, 2, Psalm 147, verse 6. Number 4, I've got to be obedient. What's the point of going through all of this and you're not going to do what you're told to do? What's the point of going and getting counsel if you're not going to do what the counselor says? What is the point? What is the point? If you've already made up your mind, this is what you're going to do. Obedient. Isaiah 1:19, if you are willing and obedient, you will eat of the fat of the land. That's the best of the land. The best that God has for you. That's what it means when He's talking about fat of the land. Acts 5:29, 1 Peter 1:22. And fifthly, folks, we've got to trust God. We've got to trust God. In other words, when you're trusting, folks, you're not struggling anymore. You're resting. Are you with me, church? I'm coming to a close. We're resting. The fight is no more. Because many people say trusting is having faith. No, it's not. No, it's not. It's completely different. And that's why I have them in different points here. Right? When you're trusting, you are resting. The struggle is no more. I may not see the answer. I may not know how it's going to be done, but I know it's going to be done in Jesus' name. You're trusting God. You're resting there, man. And the peace of God, man, can be your portion. No matter what battles you're facing, no matter what you're going through, church, number one, make sure that you are doing it God's way. Make sure. I hate asking people, have you heard from the Lord? And they haven't, but yet they're making major decisions. What are you doing? You have sickness in your body, but you're not even bringing it to God. That's what one king did. One godly king did. King Asa. The Bible says, shame. He was a godly king. There are many kings in both Judah and Israel that were ungodly. But King Asa was a godly king. But the Bible says for 2 years he had a sickness in his feet. Godly king. He had a sickness in his foot and he did not seek the Lord. He didn't seek him. You know God, but you don't seek him. You got something that you don't want, but you don't seek God. Asa must have been trying to do it his way. Get all the physicians around because he was king and he had wealth and the resources and trying to do things his way. But it never works when we try to do things our way. God wants us to rest in him and to trust him and to do it his way. Can I get an amen, church?
Amen.
Listen, close your eyes right where you are. I said at the very beginning, though, folks, that there's battles out there and there's a fight. And if never before, the church has to be fighting. You know what God is doing now? Let me tell you what God is doing now in the spirit realm. God is coming and he's taking the church out of the church. And you know what he's doing? He's equipping those. And you know who he's equipping? It's not everybody. Not the whole congregation at all. Because some are in a mode of celebration and some are in a mode of wherever the crowd is, that's where I want to be. But God is looking for those who says, hang on a minute. Who has a heart for me? Who has a heart that wants me? Who has a heart that is after me? Where is the man, the woman, the boy and the girl that is after my will and wants to do my will in their lives? Because that's who I am looking for. That's who I'm looking for. And God is looking for that man, that woman, that boy and girl, because those are the people that God can use. It's not according to your qualification or your experience. It's according to your heart and your willingness to do what God wants to do, to bring healing into your life, whatever it may be. Whatever it may be, in Jesus' name, God is able to turn it around. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. I'm a staunch believer in that, not just from my experience, but from what the Word of God says. And nobody's going to change my mind. No matter how hard or how difficult the situation or where you find yourself, you could be in the deepest pit that you think that, no, my gosh, there's no way out. I know a God who specializes in making a way out of no way. And that God is here today. And with your heads bowed and eyes closed, I just wonder today, is there anybody who says, yes, Pastor David, I have mountains that I'm facing and I really need God's help to break these mountains down. Or maybe I'm on a trajectory that God hasn't set me on. And I want to humble myself now before the mighty hand of God and I want God to help me into the future that he's created for me and not one that I'm creating for myself. Just raise your, slip your hand up and put it right back down. I want to pray with you today. Thank you. Is there anybody else? Yes, thank you. Thank you for being honest, you know, because you're lifting, I say this every time, you're not lifting your hands to me, you know, folks. You know what you're doing? You're being obedient and already you began the process for change to come about in your life. Thank you. Put your hand down. Is there anyone else? I want to pray for those who are sick in a minute, but I just want to get this one out of the way first. Father, I thank you for every person who's lifted their hand, Lord. They've lifted their hand to you, Lord God, because they recognize, Lord God, that they need you in their lives, in this particular challenge perhaps that they're facing, Lord. They need strength from you, Father, maybe. In their eyes, the future looks uncertain. Maybe certain personal challenges that they're going through. Father, you see, Lord, and you know everything. I don't, Lord. But you do, and that's what's important. And Father, as your sons and daughters have lifted their hands, Lord God, I pray in Jesus' name that, Lord God, you will just fill them, Lord God, with your presence, first of all. Lord, let them know that, Lord God, you are with them. As a matter of fact, Lord God, you know, you said it in your word. You said, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. So no matter what we're going through, Lord God, we know that you are there with us, Lord. And so we can, even while there's a storm brewing in our lives, Lord, we can have perfect peace. That surpasses all understanding. And I pray that that will be the peace of your people. Whatever change they need to make, Lord, whatever sacrifice they may need to give, Lord, I pray that they will not hold on to the very thing that, Lord God, you are calling them to release. And as we release ourselves into your hand, you release your power into our lives. And I pray that you will turn things around for them, Lord. That wisdom will be their portion in Jesus' name. We've heard, Lord, that if we need the wisdom, all we need to do is ask. So, Father, we ask you for wisdom, Lord God, in the steps that we need to take, Father, to bring about the change that is needed in our lives. To bring about, Lord God, maybe a change of direction, a change of mind, a change of thought, Lord. Because you are our God and we recognize, Father, we sang about it today, Lord, that your way is not like our way, Lord God. For your ways are higher than our ways and your thoughts than our thoughts. And so we surrender our will, Lord God, to you and we say, Father, let your will be done. And let the peace of God rule and reign in the hearts and lives of your people. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Can we all stand on our feet? Hallelujah. Can we all stand on our feet? I just want us to, I don't know if there's anybody that's not well today or if you have pain in your body or whatever else. Just let's start off by worshiping the Lord. Just lift up your hands and just worship him right now. Just worship. That's the Father, we worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. Now, he needs to hear you. Use your words now to change atmospheres. Use your words. Direct them at the Lord. Father, we give you praise. We give you all the glory. Lord, we do not let anything, Lord God, hold us back, Father, in Jesus' name. But we want to give you praise today. We want to give you all the glory and all the honor because, Lord, unto you it is due. Father, we lift hands today and we magnify you and we thank you for your provision and for your blessing. Thank you, Lord God, for all that you have done and for what you are doing even now in our lives, Lord. Thank you, Lord God, that it is well in my life in Jesus' name. It is well in my body in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Now I take authority over every sickness, over every principality and power, over every dominion, oh God, that is not of you. We take authority over it now in Jesus' name. And I rebuke sickness in the name of Jesus Christ. We rebuke it in the name of the Lord. And we say, Father, your will be done. Cover your people now, Lord God, with the blood of Jesus Christ. And we give you thanks for strength, Lord, that you give in our bodies in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Now, does anybody need prayer for healing? If you do, come forward, please. Don't watch a clock, church. Watch Jesus Christ. And let's exalt him on high. Come forward if you need touching your body for healing. Because no matter what you are facing, I'm telling you that you have a God who is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that dwells in us. Can I get a loud amen, church?
Amen.
All right. Church, can I get a loud amen?
Amen.
Oh, man, don't be afraid to shout. Can I get a louder amen? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't be afraid to rock this place with your praises and your amen. What you are doing is you are sealing the word that has gone forth. And that's why it's good when the word is preached to say amen. Because words have gone forth and you're sealing it. That's what you're doing. You know, when something is sealed, guess what? It's locked into somewhere. And when you say amen in the atmosphere, the truth that's just released is locked in the atmosphere. There for God's people to be set free in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Now, whatever your case, just lift up your hand right now. All of you. All of you before God. Can you stretch your hands toward God's people from your face?
Thank you, Jesus.
Can you stretch your hands? And what we're going to do is we're going to pray. You pray, and I'm going to pray as well in Jesus' name.
Yeah,
just pray. Let the Holy Spirit lead you. You don't know what it is, but let the Holy Spirit lead you in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I need to hear you, Lord Church. I need to hear you pray.
Thank you. By the power of your word. Lord, I thank you, Lord God, that you are
Father, Lord Jesus,
Lord God.
Thank you,
Lord God, that you have done what you have to do. Father, Lord
Jesus,
Lord God, what you have to do.
Father,
Lord God, I speak to you right now.
Lord,
I thank you, that Lord, that I lay their hands to you. Father, that Lord, that you reach that Lord God, and touch that Lord, we thank you.
Father,
you are the God that is.
Father,
Jesus,
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord, for every petition, every good word, whatever infirmity that you have. We thank you, Lord. You are the God that can heal.
Father, my friends, Father, I worship you, Lord.
Lord, just
Father, we just come against this pain, this discomfort that's in her body. Oh, you're suffering? I can't feel it. Father, we just rebuke this pain and this discomfort, Lord God, that's in her back in the name of Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank you that you are able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all and beyond your faith according to the power that works in us, Lord. So we pray right now, Lord God, that this pain, this discomfort is in Jesus' name. We pray, Lord God, and we thank you now for total and complete restoration in her body. We give you praise and we give you thanks, Lord God, for your healing touch upon your daughter.
Can we stretch our eyes towards the table for me, please? I'm going to pray for her back and her feet. Father, we just plead the blood of Jesus over your daughter. Father, you said, suffer the little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. And so we thank you for Taylor. We thank you, Lord God, that your eyes are upon her, that you love her. And Father, I pray that your hand will be upon her right now. In Jesus' mighty name, we rebuke every discomfort. Father, that she is going through, Lord God, we pray that this adjustment that she needs with the souls of her shoes, Lord, that it will be less discomfort, Father, and that she will find complete and total healing from you, Lord God, wherever healing is needed, Lord. And we thank you that her body is strengthened, that we speak strength into this little young body, in Jesus' name, that she will be able to do, Lord God, what she's done before. And Father, we thank you that she'll be able to do more because of your touch, Lord. Thank you for your healing touch. Thank you for restoring her, Lord God, to complete and full health, Lord, her complete body, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Praise God. I love your look of smile.
You
remember we shared a video the other day?
Yes.
Do you mind if I share a little bit on
you? Yeah.
Do you know what? Before we pray for Leon, I'm going to pray for her now. She needs strength in her body. She shared with me, when was it? Was it last week, Tommy?
Thursday.
Oh, yes, right in the back. That's right. When we had our fasting and prayer. I'll just make it brief in my own words, okay? She was suffering she wasn't able to stand on her feet for a long time. She meant to come to the meeting the week before, had took the wrong train and ended up somewhere else, you know. But she said, so she missed the meeting. But she said, you know what, I'm going to just lift up, I hope I'm saying it accurately. I'm just going to lift up the name of Jesus and I'm just going to bless him. And she walked from wherever she was coming from. And as she walked, she just declared in the name of the Lord that she's okay, that she is well, that she's strengthened in her feet. Yeah. And God did that.
Amen.
And I just asked her a while ago, is that still the case? And she said, yes. Now she's come forward because, did I miss out anything?
No.
All right.
I did a lot of pain. I had to get lifts everywhere from the stations I went to here. I had to meet someone all the time. I was struggling. And I wasn't feeling like I was just screaming. When I was coming here, I was really upset. I just felt like, God, I felt like, why has this happened to me? What am I doing? And I realised I hadn't declared to God. I hadn't surrendered myself. And so I was crying and walking. Mm-hmm. And literally the next day, I would be able to walk. I walked to work. So now I'm enjoying walking.
Amen.
So I'm here now because I was walking my London Bridge for 2 hours just enjoying the sights. I'm a little bit tired. But that's just normal. But I just was obedient and was cleared myself to God, and then it will be after having, I would say, a year of very, very intense pain. Very intense, but no more.
Amen. Praise God. Can we give the Lord a prayer? Amen. So the same God that therapeuted you is the same God that's going to therapeute you now. He's going to strengthen you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Okay? So stretch your hands toward her for me, please. Father, we just want to thank you for your daughter, my sister, Lord. And we thank you, Lord God, that you are a God who heals. You're a God who strengthens. You're a God who does everything through his anointing. And so, Father, we pray for Leona now that you will strengthen her in her body in Jesus' name. We come against every sickness, every weakness, Lord. We come against every attack of the enemy. We come against every discomfort that's in her body. And we speak strength right now in Jesus' name. We plead the blood of Jesus and we pray that you'll cover her, Lord God. And that you will just walk with her, Lord, as she walks, as she goes about her daily business. We thank you for strengthening her legs, her body, her whole being, Father. And we thank you, Lord God, that you are able to do. Lord God, your word says, exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that dwells in us. So we pray that the Holy Ghost power that exists and dwells with Leona, that, oh God, as she cooperates with your word, Lord, and exercises, Lord God, the power that you have given her, that you, oh God, she will see the fruitfulness once again in her life, in Jesus' name. We speak well-being into your life right now, in the mighty, precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you,
but thank God for his restorative work. When we mess up, God is able to correct that through his love for us. Amen. God bless you.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you. Gene, how can I pray?
For me, Father, in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, okay. Is it okay?
Yeah.
It's okay. Okay. God has come forward for himself. He wants another. Let's believe this, church. Let's believe this, okay? That your diabetes and also high blood pressure will be made normal in Jesus'
name.
No. Let's believe that.
Yes, Lord.
Okay? Let's come with faith.
Hallelujah.
And let's just be obedient and trust God that God is able to do it. And for Dan, can we all pray as well? For Dan, what he's going to do, what we're going to do is we're going to pray for Dan. As a matter of fact, I'm going to ask Claude if he can come and pray for Dan, but I'm going to pray for Garfield, okay? And Claude, is that okay? You come and pray for Dan. Dan's not being physically well, not even well enough to come to church, okay? So we're going to intercede for her in Jesus' name. And whatever is going on, we're going to take authority over it in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
All right, so while I'm praying, you're going to pray. While Claude's praying, you pray too. Yeah. Okay? Because one can chase 1,000, but guess what? Two, we're much more than two here.
Yeah.
You can put 10,000 to flat. Stretch your hands towards Garfield. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your son. We thank you, oh God, for your restorative word that, oh God, you have begun to reach inside this man's life.
Thank you,
oh God, that we're all part of a
is going to work, Lord. We're on the journey, Father. And we thank you for the work that you are doing. But Lord, as I pray in Jesus' name, that Father, and in Jesus, Lord, everything that hinders him from being and operating, Lord God, in the way that you would have him operate, we come against that in Jesus' name. So, Lord, we just rebuke, Father, everything that causes his blood pressure to be high and his diabetes to be existent in his body. We speak to it now in Jesus' name, and we declare that it is well in every area of your life, Garfield. It is well in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for the blood of Jesus. And we plead that right now over your son. And we give you praise and we give you glory, Father, for what you will do from this very this time onward in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for your healing and your direction. Thank you, Father, for whom the Son is set free. Is free indeed. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' mighty name.
Hallelujah.
Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Like I said to the others, you leave this place thanking God.
Amen.
All right, for doing that work. Don't wait to see it manifest. Mm-hmm. You thank you. It's already provided, so we just claimed it for you.
Yes.
So it's yours in Jesus' name. Nothing is too hard.
Amen. Amen.
All right, cool. Thank you.
Father, we just thank you, Lord God, that we can come to your throne, Lord God, with boldness and with confidence.